this is David Marlett with another episode of Cinemersia here on Creative Disturbance. And this afternoon, I am joined by Chadwick Turner. Chadwick is with, I'll let you explain Vridio and a little bit about what you guys are up to.
Well, thanks, David. Yeah, Vridio is an exciting platform in the immersive cinema space. We're focused on, you know, allowing anybody that has a creative vision, whether it be 180, 360 degree content, but to allow it similar to any sort of video portal, but this one focused obviously on the more immersive content front. You know, one thing we're also trying to do is there's a lot of creative people out there that are excited about virtual reality, but potentially don't understand how to activate their ideas. And, you know, as the head of content partnerships at Vridio, I'm also just trying to find, you know, creative individuals who have a penchant for activating potentially just 16:9 content, but want to, you know, get involved in the virtual reality space.
And now, when you say 16, okay, pardon my, I'm in this space, but I haven't heard the 16:9. 16:9.
It's kind of my little, it's a way to describe, you know, the widescreen content that people probably have been consistently uploaded on YouTube.
Because it's 360:180. Is that where you get 16:9?
Oh, no, the 16:9 piece is a reference to non-360 content. So,
I was trying to do the math there.
No. Okay. Old televisions, you got the 4x3, we went widescreen, and now we're going super wide.
Right. I'm with you now. I misunderstood. Yep. Okay. Yeah, and you mentioned 180 too. So you guys are doing distribution of both 360 and 180.
Yeah, I mean, I think the interesting part about the, you know, when I so as background, I started a company called Circle VR, and we were focused on a lot of, you know, similar concept and content as other folks in the space, including travel shows, activating YouTube content, and more of like a behind the scenes 360 space. And one of the most interesting pieces was when I would, you know, travel and watch my content on a flight, is I wouldn't always necessarily look behind me to try to enjoy the content. I was really in kind of a 270 and above. And so in order to enjoy that content, all I really did was add black bars in my editing workflow. And from there, it still had it 360, but behind me was just dark and
you know, I think that's an area for academic research too. I noticed yeah, right now it's just sort of phenomenological. I mean, just observation. I went out and I put this on my blog, and I know you read it, of course. but you know, I went out and did a little demonstration. It's actually pretty interesting of putting a bunch of 10-year-olds in an Oculus for the first time. And even though these guys, and they're mainly guys, it was a little robotics club. And even though they have just grown up gaming, I mean, you know, obviously that's all they know. At 10 today, you know, you think back, you know, starting at 2005, good grief, that, but they still, I had to keep saying, you know, you can look behind you, you know, look up, look around, you know, they just want to look forward. And it was an interesting observation. And I don't know that we want to crane our necks and necessarily see what's behind us. And you got to give me a good reason to have to do that, I think.
And I think that's the exciting part about the space is that, you know, I went to USC Film Business School, and they had some of the, you know, most amazing professors that are teaching you from the 100-year plus that cinema's been around, all of the things that we've learned.
Right.
That 23.98 frames per second is the right amount of, you know, FPS for a film to really feel immersive. That, you know, you don't want to break the fourth wall, how you set up an interview shot, all these things that really, those rules will probably either be bent in one way or another in the VR space.
Oh,
or
I think
potentially
so.
Just go out the door.
Or just go out the door. Yeah, I was about to say. It introduces us to whole new questions.
Did you hear about that? There was an article that's kind of been going around with regards to adding a virtual nose to VR content to help with motion sickness.
Virtual nose? Nose,
like the appendage on the front of your face. Like literally you add somewhat of a virtual nose. It was a really fascinating article.
And you see it in your
ocular. You see it.
Ocular.
And it's exactly, it's stabilized. It's almost like you see it in your inner periphery. And what it does is supposedly stabilize, even if the camera's moving, you see that your nose is stable against it. And it gives you that horizon line that we're used to.
That's interesting.
That was, and I haven't played with it yet, but I read it about 48 hours ago.
I wonder what ethnic characteristics of noses.
Definitely, I think in the future you're going to have avatars that you could create. I think back to the original Wii.
You pick your own nose.
That's right.
I have a very Comanche nose,
Well,
American Indian nose.
there you go.
So.
I'm sure the customization will be there in the future. But it's interesting. Some of the stuff I've shot in the past that I started off shooting just basically hitting record and walking with my camera, coming back, and my wife, who's kind of my guinea pig, I'd have her throw on the Oculus, and she would be a good sport. But after about 30 seconds, I'm feeling some motion sickness.
Right,
So there's a
right.
couple of elements that I added to it was blur out the edges or add a really subtle horizon line, similar to a compass on an airplane where it shows you kind of where your horizon line's at.
Right.
And this nose thing is the same kind of concept, but it might allow for a more subtle way of keeping that motion sickness at bay. So
Well, we had,
exciting news.
yeah, it is, and it's fascinating. Just as the weeks go by, I mean, each week, it's almost, something new. I've got one of the grad students up here just focused on just helping me stay current. It has become just, way back in the dark ages of this, meaning 10 months ago, I was able to kind of maintain that and maintain my website, and now it's sometimes it's starting to slip away from me, and it's hard to kind of sometimes hang on. But it's fascinating, it's exciting, and of course, with what we're doing with Manslaughter and some of our focus on VR cinema. Let's talk a little bit about VR cinema specifically. You guys are doing, and I know you're going to be a platform for this. There's people out there doing a lot of 360 shooting, GoPro clusters, et cetera, and doing some interesting and beautiful stuff. Where do you do a little forecasting? Where does Chadwick see this being? Give me a 12 months out. Where are we?
Well, I don't know if you saw the news about Spielberg signing on to film Ernie Cline's book, Ready Player One. But after, are you familiar with the novel Ready Player
Yeah,
One?
in fact, I was just thinking, you got me out because I was thinking, yeah, things like I knew about already. Yeah, go ahead.
So
Yes, I think.
we talk about,
I know what the book is.
So it's a just as a quick refresher for anybody that's listening that potentially doesn't know what Ready Player One's about. It's a dystopian novel set roughly, I think, 50 years in the future, written by Ernie Cline. If you haven't read it, even if you're not a sci-fi fan, it's just a fantastic book, and it's a great kind of prediction of potentially where this technology can go. Of course, there's a villain and kind of, but just in general,
Right.
just watch where the
It's a
technology
story.
goes. Yeah, and it gives you ideas on, oh, we're almost there. So if I would think 12 months out, I think it's not unexpected that a lion's share of the current content is tripod-based, experience-based, maybe one to two different angles. And you can compare it from user-generated content all the way to Jean's Paul McCartney concert. They had a shot in the crowd, and they had a shot behind Paul's piano. Really
Right.
great experience. But I think
Right.
right now it's the, proving the concepts out,
Right.
showing, trying to feel for like what people are interested in, which ones are downloaded more. I think something that is really going to be a breakthrough moment is when we see short form content that almost blurs the lines between sitcom, film, and it really is immersive. Whether that is a POV, so a first person perspective
Right.
film, or potentially it could be a 180, 270 degree situational comedy where you're literally in the studio. I
Yeah.
mean, picture Seinfeld in 270, where you could see Kramer slamming through the door, and you look to your left, and George is, talking about his wife licking the stamps. Like, you could literally be in that space. So I think there are a lot of people interested in that space right now. You also have, I believe, is Ted Shilowitz from Fox, who is activating his films with a transmedia approach, where you can be on the path with Reese Witherspoon as a promotional effort for Wild, but you're with her on the path.
Right.
I
I've
think
seen that
that's the
one
next
there.
12.
Yeah.
That's the next 12 months to me. It's a lot of interesting content providers, whether it's, someone that's just doing it on their own or all the way to the major film studios. They're finding ways to reactivate their content and just try to learn the space. Now, I think that there is a potential huge opportunity with Warner Brothers, Steven Spielberg, and Ready Player One in 2017, where, I mean, Spielberg's he's one of my idols. He's a USC honorary alumni. Right. I've been he's one of the people that have kind of put me in this space in general. And if you talk about 1979 when he released Jaws, and that is considered to be one of the linchpins that defines the modern era of cinema, were blockbusters. So you had Star Wars and Jaws roughly around the same time, and Jaws just took over the cinemas for the entire year. And he changed the game. And then you just kind of follow the guy's career, and he's consistently found ways to really push the envelope and push the envelope.
I think it's going to be interesting. Absolutely. And he, and of course, Cameron as well. And
absolutely.
As they move in those directions, and they'll, that's why I'm excited about Manslaughter for what we're trying to do with this four-way, and layering it in, and trying to tell a story surround. I think what's going to be really interesting is seeing the pieces where the audience is invited, if not challenged, to go back and watch it again. I mean, to see things they might not have seen. I think there's an interesting sort of replay element that may not be, or just isn't, generally in traditional cinema.
Absolutely. And I think, Manslaughter is a great example of that, where you have, the four quadrant concept, where the audio itself will be activated based upon where you're looking. So every time you watch a scene, every time you watch the entire film, it's a different experience. I think that in and of itself, is a complete game changer. When VR first really became, hit the mainstream, I think in 2012, the Kickstarter with Paul Mohlucki, it started at least becoming part of the conversation, for more mainstream media. There were a lot of comparisons between VR cinema and 3D TVs, and that, 3D TVs didn't really hit. So VR is going to be similar. And it wasn't everybody saying that, but there was a sizable minority that was saying that. And I think slowly people are realizing, and now more rapidly, obviously, but that 3D television content was the same content with some filter on it. It provided a little bit layer of immersion, but it was still that box across your living room. And what this is a completely brand new paradigm. It's you're there. You no longer have to be looked. I mean, something I always tell my colleagues is it's going to be funny to, talk 30, 40 years from now, and our great grandkids will say, similar to how I talk about to my grandparents about, they used to sit around listening to the radio. Right. That was their one source of content. My great grandkids will say, you guys used to look at boxes across the room.
Yeah, across the room. A flat screen. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Grandpa, why didn't you just get the implants? Why didn't you just have these goggles on your face? You could have been there the entire time. So I think that's kind of the point we're at right now, where a lot of people are trepidatious to be a first mover, but it's going to be super rapid in the next 12 months, where there's just going to be a lot of creative content. And that's what we're trying to capture at Vridio. I mean, we're excited to work with you on Manslaughter, and anybody else that wants to at least learn about VR. There are a lot of resources becoming available. I mean, this podcast, for example,
Well, I'm very appreciative of that. What are you guys looking at with regard to music videos? Maybe you're already doing them, and I apologize. I mean, I know there's a couple of them out there that we've all seen, the Paul McCartney kind of things, but do you see a marketplace popping up for immersive music videos?
Absolutely. I think, with the launch of MTV in the 80s, right? I think there was a creative explosion of content with, even though it was Madonna, heavy metal bands, Video Killed the Radio Star was the first one on there, but it was really a creative renaissance with short form content. I think music videos still have elements out there. They're just somewhat expensive to produce, and really the lion's share of, high production value music videos will go towards that top echelon artist. I think with 360 content, you might actually see a second renaissance of music videos. And that's something I'm very excited to explore at Vridio. Well, there are conversations being had with top echelon kind of artists. But at the same time, the goal is to activate really great experiences. And that doesn't require that we only find artists that already have established brand equity. The goal is to find artists that want to push the envelope, want to do something creative. And in exchange for that, I mean, maybe they can find a new audience.
Well, that's what we're doing with this band that's in the film.
Awesome.
It's a local band. It's a fantastic band. Really. And after we shoot that scene, you've seen the script. Then we'll roll into shooting a music video for them. using the same four-way technology. So basically you'll watch the band on one stage playing while you see the same band sitting on another stage to your left, right, and behind you, watching themselves play on the front stage.
Oh, that's cool.
And then we're thinking about either tossing a tennis ball between them, which will be a little bit of a CG trick, to kind of signal that it's time to turn and watch them play on another stage.
Yeah.
And so it's, we're mapping it out, and it's fun. We're going to see what it, but you're right. It's one of these, it's not a big well-known brand, but they know that this will get them a lot of attention. And they're a fantastic band, and, it's a great place to explore.
Exactly. You know, I've worked in the mobile gaming space for, you know, 2-3 years, really focused, but I've been involved with it for off and on, you know, since college. And it's interesting. There's a lot of benefits to being a first mover in a space. If you look at the mobile gaming industry, you have some giants that have been there since the iPhone launched in 2007. You have, you know, Supercell, King, Rovio with Angry Birds.
Right.
And these companies that maybe don't have the household recognition of an Electronic Arts and Activision, which, by the way, EA and Activision are very successful as well. But these companies that really identified the opportunity and became involved from the very beginning have been able to really, you know, protect their position and consistently, you know, report additional customers going their way. And I think that's the opportunity in virtual reality, too. You're going to have 21st Century Fox and a bunch of big guys showing up
right
to the party, and they'll be experimenting and be able to really produce some really amazing content. You'd see through the Gear VR where, you know, Disney had, you could be in Tony Stark's laboratory,
right.
Pacific Rim with Guillermo del Toro. But there's also going to be a great opportunity for brand new emerging creators to, you know, corner their version of the marketplace, because if they gain that brand equity at the very beginning with the first movers, those first movers will proselytize to the second wave and the third wave. And that's the exciting part. And that's one of my main focuses at Vridio, is to find those creators. Who are those people that want to push the envelope, and how can we help?
Well, we're certainly trying, at least on this end. We have, it's interesting, and I'm very glad to have both, you know, University of Texas and Dallas here, you know, their whole gaming program, as well as, I don't know if you know, but Emerson College, their film school, has signed on now. So we have grad students on that side as well.
Oh, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great to have that to do, you know, just the code, you know, there's some special coding, and there's some things that, well, we'll be talking about that offline. But listen, yeah. I really appreciate your time today, and thank you for doing this. This has been great, and I hope the listeners have enjoyed it and got something from it.
Absolutely. Pleasure to be on, and we'll be in touch, David. Thank you so much.
Yeah, very good, Chadwick. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.